And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Marvelous, Monumental, Most Fascinating, Massively Mind-Bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name. First, as we have been studying this book for quite some time, we have finally arrived at a pivotal chapter. After the Lord God Almighty takes the time to answer Job, which he is not obligated to do, and by the way, Job is not entitled to, he simply asks Job, do you want me to continue this? Do you want me to keep arguing with you? Do you think this will end well for you? Because it won't. Uh-oh, this could be trouble for all of us. Next, Job regains some of his early chapter brilliances and responds to the Lord with a way that every one of us should mirror in our situation. Job speaks the truth. He says to God, I am nothing. In today's modern age of psychology, wokeness, and political idiocy, there is a theory that states that mankind is wonderful. However, humanity, all men, women, children, and all beings with any breath at any time, are nothing compared to God. Nothing. Zero. Nada. Zip. And finally, the Lord God Almighty then asks Job a pretty interesting question. Are you going to try and discredit my justice and condemn me so you can appear right? Uh-oh. Here's an interesting part of this. God is so much more just, so much more wise, so much more fair, so much more righteous than he asks Job this really simple question. Can you make your voice thunder the way that I make my voice thunder? The answer is obviously no. And the rest of the Lord's rebuke is going to be much harsher than that. So buckle up.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. Hey. We're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show, David@HeMustIncrease.org. That's David@HeMustIncrease.org. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, and don't you be afraid to, when you make that call, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like knowing your spiritual family has your back, and we're there to help you out the best way we can. We're going to be praying in a little bit. I did get a message from Julianne about Easton. He's going to have a surgery he was going to have a while from now. He's been moved up till tomorrow, so we're going to pray in a little while for Easton for that surgery, because if you're the parent, you're like going, ugh, right? But it has to happen, so we're going to move it forward and ask the Lord to bless the situation. We'll get to that in a wee little bit. If you've got a prayer request, I would probably say this is an excellent time to bring that forward. And we can pray about it and bring it before the Lord. We'll combine our faith and ask for his help. If you've got a praise report, don't hesitate. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And the Bible teaches clearly in Psalm 40 that he puts a new song in our mouth and he puts our feet upon a rock. And when people hear that song, they trust in the Lord. That's very powerful indeed. We also do these wild things, like we talk about different issues. Plus, we even do Bible trivia. Here you go. Here's your Bible trivia. Get ready. Are you ready? How does Jesus lead us? Does he lead us in last place, in pieces, or in triumph? According to 2 Corinthians 2:14, how does Jesus lead us? Boy, that's a really tongue twister if you say it really fast. How does Jesus lead us? Okay, there we go. In pieces, in last place, or in triumph? How does Jesus lead us? According to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. If you think you know, you can call the show 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So just think about that. How do you think Jesus leads us? Does he lead us into last place? Does he lead us in pieces? Or does he lead us into triumph? According to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Let me know if you think you know the answer. In the meantime, we'll do our DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Okay? So I had something happen today where I had to push my prayer time back a little bit. I pushed it back. Then it turned out that it was for the best because I got more time in and it was less distracting. And I was just thinking, only the Lord would know that. I would never have known that. Only God knew that. Kind of helped me out. That's what relationship is. And I think the Lord was like, wait a little bit. It'll be better. Like, okay. Just be led. Just go approach the Lord. Talk to him. If it's time, time. If he wants you to wait just a couple minutes, wait a couple minutes. He knows exactly how the relationship should go. You should be in a living relationship with the living God, period. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. I promise you, they are going to try and make the Bible hate speech all the way across. Promise. So because of that, you should know the word of God and never be ashamed of the word of God, even if people go, I don't like you anymore. Oh, well. That's how it's going to go. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means OPM, other people matter, which means you don't focus all your energy on yourself, which is draining by itself, but you also focus on others and care about them and love them and find out that you adding them into your life brings you more life. That's the design of God. Okay? All right. Okay. So now, one other thing I want to say that Jacob reminded me of is there are some tickets that are still hanging out for some people. We have the SMU Mustang is playing the Tulsa Golden Hurricanes, a football game, on the 28th of October. If you have a desire to go to that game, we have 4 tickets and a parking pass. Ooh. A parking pass means you get to park in there, and it's like, no problems. You don't have to pay for it or nothing. And 4 tickets. This game is on the 28th. It starts at 11 a.m. If you want the tickets, you need to reach out to us. You can call. You can text. Or you can send an email. You would send the email to david@hemustincrease.org. You would text 214-210-8483, or you would call 972-445-0770. Into the book of Job we go, and chapter 40. And I'll have you know, I did my first pre-study material for Genesis, because I've already closed out the study for Job, and it's just going to be lights out crazy. That's all I'm going to say. That could take 4 years. Anyhow, here we are in Job chapter 40. Job chapter 40. Can't believe we've done 40 chapters. And we are at verse 1. And this is what the Lord says to Job. And I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it because I don't need to spend a ton of time on it because it's self-explanatory. Then the Lord said to Job, do you still want to argue with the Almighty? See, this is God being nice. I know people don't recognize this. This is the niceness of God. He's trying to give Job an out. He's like, do you want to keep this up? You want to keep going? Let's see. I've already illustrated that I made the sun that you can't even look straight at. I'm already speaking out of a whirlwind. I've already determined to you and made clear to you that I'm in charge of the rain. I'm in charge of the snow. I'm in charge of the sun. I'm in charge of all the weather and all the seasons, not mankind and their stupidity. God, God, God alone. And God's like, you still want to keep arguing? He's already asked him this one major question, which changes everybody's life as soon as you hear it. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Uh-oh. And so God very politely, very kindly, just asks him, do you want to keep this going? You want to keep fighting with me? Do you want to keep arguing with me? Now, we don't think of it in these, which is what I'm looking for, super holiness frameworks. We do it like this. Lord, I can't believe you're still doing this. Come on. That's our Job. Oh, everybody does that. Come on, Lord. I can't believe you're putting me through this. Haven't I done enough? Haven't I gone through enough? Isn't it enough for you? That's ours. And verse, chapter 40, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Job, do you still want to argue with the Almighty? You are God's critic, but do you have the answers? Oh. That's what God is asking you and I. Do you know why it's in Holy Writ? For you and I. It's not in Holy Writ because God needed a record of it. It's not in Holy Writ because Job needed a record of it. Job's in heaven. That's not happening. It's in Holy Writ for you and me. And here's what God is asking you and me by showing us this experience with Job. You still want to argue with me? You're going to be my critic? You don't even have an answer. Case closed. It's like, oh, that's brutal. Yeah, that's brutal. But you know what? We all need to recognize it. We got to stop trying to argue with God. Stop trying to tell him he's not doing a good job being God. And stop trying to act like we have the answers to life's missions. Because that's a bad, bad, bad plan and a bad spirit. All right? Okay. All right, how does Jesus Christ lead us? How does he lead us? That's the question. In last place, in pieces, or in triumph? And the answer is Jesus always leads us into triumph. That's the fact. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And it'll be very apparent very soon on all fronts. We'll take a break and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
Philip shares the gospel. In that gospel presentation is a proclamation about baptism, no matter what anybody says. That's just the reality of this text. He gets baptized, and the Holy Spirit catches Philip away, and the eunuch never sees him again. Does he go away miraculously? You can't define it as an absolute, but it sure seems that way. Doesn't matter, because why? The text says he never saw him again. That's what the text says. God will use people in your lives for a moment to make a change in your life, and you will never see them or hear from them again. That's what you got to recognize. God will use you in people's lives for a one-time encounter that will make, that will accomplish that which the Lord desires to accomplish, that will do plant some form of seed that God has in mind, and that's the intent, and you'll never see him again. You think, well, I don't know what the value of that was. That's why divine appointments are divine appointments and not human evaluations, because God uses the most unique circumstances, even one-time, one-and-done circumstances, to plant seeds in people's lives throughout their journey on the earth, to reach them and speak to them and to encourage them. You getting that? Sometimes God will bring somebody into your life, and it's just for a brief moment. And that's the purpose, and that's the intent. You don't fully understand, nor do I, nor does any human being, why the Lord has people cross paths the way he does. But remember, he is God. And so he knows what person needs to have what encounter at what juncture in their life. All of this is to say the Lord is the coordinator. It wasn't Philip. It wasn't the eunuch, so to speak. I mean, it was a strategic placement of a Christian in a position to reach a secretary of the treasury in Ethiopia to have a salvation opportunity. And nobody could ever predict that. But God set the whole thing up. And then he's done. And he it's just so amazing because the scripture says he never saw Philip again. That's it. One and done. See you, buddy. God bless. And it was all part of the plan of God. Some people get saved in one church, and then they end up going to another church shortly thereafter, and that church is really instrumental in their growth, but not their decision. Totally normal. Nothing weird about that whatsoever. You're normal. It's normal because the Lord is in charge, and he's not asking anybody's permission. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We got our next trivia question. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Which apostle said in his epistle? That's a good one, right? Which apostle said in his epistle that fear produces torment? Which apostle in his epistle communicated that fear produces torment? Was it Paul, Peter, or John? Which apostle in his epistle? That's the question. Was it Paul, Peter, or John? Which apostle said that fear produces torment? Challenging question, right? Okay. 972-445-0770 if you think you know the answer. That's a tougher question. People are like, I like the tough questions. And then you ask tough questions and then nobody replies. 214-210-8483, that's the text. And then David, he must increase.org. So let's understand something about that. I'm going to give you this one hint. It's going to be one of the big three that hung out with Jesus the most. So that should eliminate one of those. Okay? Will Rogers stepping into place right there. Which apostle said fear produces torment? That's the question. And it's one of the mighty three apostles. How about that? Okay, that'll give you a chance. Fear produces torment. He wrote that in his epistle. Thank you. There you go. All right, in the meantime, we got more teaching to do. Plus, I need to be praying for my daughter and for Easton. So I'd like you guys to take your faith and combining that faith with my faith, and let's pray for Easton. He's got a double hip surgery. Okay, double hip surgery. They were supposed to do this later on, so I was going to tell you about it, but Julianne just got word that they want to move it up to tomorrow, so we're going to pray and ask the Lord to help Easton, plus help Jared and Julianne, as well as the kids. So let's pray. Father, we come before you right now, and I just lift up my daughter to you, and I can't pray enough. I can't thank you enough for her, and I can't praise you enough for the way you've made her a strong, shining example of true faith in you. She's just done a marvelous job. And her and Jared are awesome, awesome examples of faith. And we lift them up to you because Easton has gone through so much and that family's been through so much. We are asking you to put your protection around all of the family's hearts. And we are asking you to bring healing into Easton's body. They're doing the surgery, Lord. Unless there's something superbly miraculous that happens, we're asking you to bless those surgeons to do the best that can be done. And we're asking for not just the healing power, but the redemptive power that would operate in that family, that that family would know they are blessed and chosen by you. Keep all the grandkids safe. Addie Bug, Isaiah Anthony, and Anna, keep them safe and secure. Don't let Julian and Jared be afraid, but let your awesome, gracious will be done. Bring Easton further along in recovery. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, thank you guys for praying with me on that one. You know I appreciate that as a grandpa. You know, you should know that anyway. We do have somebody that I think is ready to answer the trivia question, so let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Stephen.
Hello, Stephen. How are you, sir?
I'm okay. Have you ever heard the saying about love is blind?
I have heard that saying before. I have, in fact.
It's interesting to relate that to what John had to say about fear.
That is a brilliant way to connect that. You are. Can you finish up on that? Can you finish up on that?
I'll just leave it to you from
yeah!
there.
That's so good. You are right. It is John. John said that, and that's the key. It's like, yeah, that kind of fear, that just leads to torment. Wrong direction, people. Wrong thing. And that's why I had to pull it back from Paul, because I think people are like, well, there's a lot in Paul's epistles. Like, yeah, pull that back, pull that back. And Peter was great,
yeah, well,
but maybe not as smart.
Love had no fear.
That's right. That's right. That there you. Thank you. Thank you for making the smile of the moment. That was an excellent job.
You have a blessed day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. Stephen, always a delight. Always a blessing. Thank you so much, brother. Okay, and thank you, everybody, for praying with for me with Easton and so on and so forth. Okay, now. Having said all that, and I know I'm going to do the jokes, so I can do them now, but because they're short, but they're funny. Okay, well, okay, to me, they're funny.
We'll be the judge of that, David.
Okay. See how Jacob is learning his place already? Okay, here you go. Ready? Here's three really fast ones. Ready? Okay. All right. What is the best state to get school supplies? What's the best state to get school supplies? Ready? Pennsylvania. See, pencil.
What do you want from me? Okay. I'm not a comedy writer.
There you go. That's true there. Why is the library the tallest room in the schools? Why is the library the tallest room in the schools? It has the most stories. Ho-ho! All right. And finally, what can spell every word in every language? Don't say Google. What can spell every word in every language? Ready? Wait, gotta wait till I do it. Ready? An echo. That's a good one.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No! No!
Okay.
No!
Okay. You can thank Jennifer for adding that.
Yeah, that's a good one. She's like a comedy writer. We just gotta bring her at the right time. Okay, let's get back to this. Here we go. Okay? All right. So we got that, got that. Here, I can't get past this. I read this, I laugh at this, and then I cry at this. This is Job chapter 40, verse 3. This is after God, in his mercy, says, you want to keep arguing with me? Okay, you want to keep arguing with me? I mean, do you have any of these answers? Here's Job's response. This is the moment where Job begins to switch. Now, I want to point this out because you and I go through times and we will struggle. We might even start a trial really good. Like Job, first two chapters, super duper duper good. Dude, he did great. First two chapters, legendary. You know, the legendary, in fact. I mean, you know, no matter what we have, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Awesome. That's how we started. Then chapter 3 through 31, he went, but now he comes back up a little. And in chapter 40, verse 3, he says, Job replied to the Lord. After God challenged him, he says this, I am nothing. How could I ever find the answers? I will put my hand over my mouth in silence. I have said too much already. I have nothing more to say. Oh. So after Job starts the trial, good. And he did. The first two chapters are really spectacular. He has a real tough time, chapters 3 through 31. Elihu comes in, starts to rebuke him. Chapter 38, God comes in and says, now it's my turn, right? Job has heard this from God directly for, you know, what we would consider the length of two chapters. And every time God speaks, it ain't getting any better for Job. It's always getting worse. And now God says, you want me to keep going, man? Because I could keep going. I just keep doing this. And in fact, he will keep doing this because Job has set the stage. He set it up in his own life for God to go, do you want me to keep responding? And Job's like, I'm done. And God goes, I'm not. And let me explain something to you. That's not just for Job. That's for you and me. Oh, Lord, I wish you wouldn't do this. You know, you better stop complaining, Dave. You should really stop doing this, God. You want to keep this up? No. Well, that's okay because you already started the process, Dave. So now I'm going to finish it for you. That's what it is. And so Job replies. He goes, I'm nothing. What? How can I ever find an answer to answer? I put my hand over my mouth. Just the gesture. Just take your hand right now. Put it over your mouth. That's wisdom when you're trying to argue with God. Take your hand and put it over your mouth. So he regained some of his brilliance, and it's like we should mirror this. I mean, there's just it's like I'm nothing. And in today's society, that people just, oh, they're so angry. Hey, every breath you take is a gift from God, and he owes you no gift. So maybe just be quiet. And you say that to in the age of psychology, or you say that and it's not that all psychology is bad, but some of it's just so human-centered. It's wrong. Wokeness, human-centered. Political idiocies, human-centered. All of that stuff. Human, 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 human. Worshipping the creation more than the creator. It's all wrong. And Job says it exactly right. I put my hand over my mouth. And it's important to understand, God is not obligated to respond to Job. In fact, because Job sinned the first time, God could have just dissolved him. Like an Alka-Seltzer in a thing of water. Gone. But in the mercy of God, he does not. In fact, as you know, he can do quite a few things if he wants. Nobody's going to stop him. But he continues to have mercy upon mercy upon mercy. And Job goes, I'm nothing. You see, the key is Job has just picked up on what we need to learn to pick up on. Apart from Jesus, you're nothing. It's like, oh, well, don't say that. Sorry, I didn't. God did. The blood of Jesus has been paid for you. That is the value God put on you. Not your own selfishness, your sin, your self-seeking, your self-centered, the blood of Jesus. That's your value, which, by the way, is a trillion times more than any human value could ever attain to. And he put it on us lavishly because he loves us. In him, we got it all. Outside of him, ain't going to happen. And Job's like, man, I've already said too much. I'm sorry I spoke. My bad. Right? All right. Take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the True Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. no outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can, right here on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. A couple things to tell you. One, don't forget about those free tickets. You have that opportunity. We'd love you to pick them up only because it'd be cool. You get free tickets. You get four tickets. I mean, this is probably a good time to do the Jake's take because we do want to do a little bit on the sports thing. But before we do that, I'm just trying to tell you, look, there's four tickets to an SMU football game, a parking pass. I mean, that's nice. Isn't that nice? I think it's nice. I think it's nice. Okay, I think it's nice. He thinks it's nice. We think it's nice. And the deal is that Don, you know, kind of carved them out for people on the show. So I want to do our best to give them to people. But the bottom line is, if you can go and enjoy it, right? So it's against the Tulsa Golden Hurricanes football game. Four tickets, parking pass. The game is the 28th, and it is at 11 a.m. the game, and we'll get that to you. But we only got like another day or so to do it. So if you want those tickets, you need to reach out by either texting us at the show, which you guys know by now, 214-210-8483, or you call us 972-445-0770, or you email us david@hemusincrease.org.
Yeah, if you don't feel like calling in, you can just text or email.
Yeah.
Hey, I want the tickets, and there you go.
Yeah, that simple. All right, now we're going to take a quick break here in the sense of get Jake's take on the sporting event, because we've had a couple of turnarounds, and so we want to just briefly discuss it. It only takes a minute for us to do it. So, first of all, thank you for doing this, Jacob. We appreciate that.
Thank you, David.
What is the latest going on with the Rangers? I mean, what happened? What's going on there?
Pretty crazy playoff series. Tonight is game 7, so it's down to the final game.
It is game 7 tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rangers won last night. They were down 3-2 in the series. They won last night to tie it 3-3. And it's first one in four, so it's down to the final game.
So whoever wins this goes to the World Series?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, it's tonight at 7 in Houston.
Okay. So now the good news is it is a team from Texas. But the better news is it should be here in the Texas area, the yes. Dallas area versus the Houston area.
Yes, both Texas teams, but we're going for the one that's more local.
Yeah, we're going for the local stuff. Okay, get that? So that's Jake's take. Do you think? How do you feel? Do you feel good or how do you feel?
I have a feeling that the Rangers will win tonight.
Wow.
Yeah.
Out on the limb he goes. All yeah. right. We're going to see.
And then if they
goes.
Lose, then I guess I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Listen, I was all hyped on the Lions. I was telling Jay. He said, I walked in. I watched the game on Sunday for 6 minutes. And I thought, I turned into him and I said, nope. It's not today. I can tell when it's looking bad. It was looking bad.
Yeah, he said, I guess the usual Lions showed up today.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. My norm team, my Thanksgiving team showed up today, or yesterday. All right, anyway, that's Jake's take. Now, the next thing we're doing is we're going to give you a trivia question. Oh, this is a great question. Do not get mad at me. I didn't write this question. And if it's wrong, do not get mad at me because I actually did not have a chance to check this out. Okay, I'm being honest. But it was such a good question, I had to ask it. So I'm going to ask you guys and see if you know. Ready? Okay. Who is the only woman whose age is mentioned in the Bible in the Old Testament? So according to this trivia question, there's only one woman whose age is mentioned in the Old Testament. Is it Sarah, Esther, or Ruth? That's the question. If this is a wrong question, I need somebody to do the backup for me. I just didn't have time to do it. But it was such a bizarre question, I had to ask it. I'm just like, amazing. Who is the only woman whose age is mentioned in the Bible in the Old Testament? Sarah, Esther, or Ruth? Okay, that is our question. Yes, we were able to do that. We're just doing our best. You can call in 972-445-0770. You can text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We do, in fact, have somebody who's already called in. Wow, that's brave. Send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. Hello, excuse me. This is Gary. How are you today?
Good, Gary, but I'm glad you did that because you were sounding really awful in that first little bit. I was like, wow, that's bad. So tell me you're not doing that bad, right? I mean, I'm just saying. we're gonna pray for you.
I don't know what's going on. Got a little bit of a cold, I guess.
Oh, okay. All right, but that's still, we still want to pray for you. All right, this is a great question, and I have never had anybody, I've never read it before. So I've never heard, like I've never presented it before, which is why I was like, man, I can't believe I didn't get time to review this. Who's the only woman whose age is mentioned in the Bible in the Old Testament? Sarah?
I believe it's Sarah.
That is correct, Amigo! Yes!
She was 90 when Isaac was born.
That is exactly right. And I knew that, but then I was thinking, is there any other woman who has any other, really? There's nobody, I was like, what? That was, wasn't that nice from God? I'm not telling anybody's age. Really? There's so many other people that
Abraham was 100.
Yeah, and that. How'd you like to be folks at that age? Oh, boy. Anyway, still, nonetheless, I mean, even though he lived to, what, 175, still more than halfway through. It's like, wow, that's still old to have a child. But anyway, let me pray over you. I want everybody to stretch your faith with me to pray over our brother Gary. He's got a little bit of cold going on. We can't have that. I need him to be healthy and moving forward. So let's pray. Father, we lift up our brother to you, Gary, and we ask you to bless him and just let him beat the cold. Let him beat what's going on so it's not holding him back. Take it to the next level because, Jesus, you are willing, and we ask you to heal him from top to bottom, from that which it strives against him. We ask you to bring healing power into his body and that he could find the same Holy Spirit operating the same power inside of him and giving him freedom and healing. We pray for that healing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. And I prayed for all of you yesterday, and I'll continue to pray for you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you and love you in the Lord, man.
Okay. God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. Great call. Great answers, by the way. The majority of the people got that right. I knew that Sarah was it, but then I was like, is she the only one? I was like, that surprised me. Okay. So I won't spend a ton of time on this because I don't want to spend a ton of time on this. That's really the reason why. But we're in Job chapter 40, and as you know, we've done this book forever, and I've told you before, after this is coming Genesis. It's 50 chapters in Genesis, and there's just a lot more notes that I've written for Genesis than I have for Job.
I like how you said, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. Like, oh, we're running out of time? No, I just don't want to.
All right, here you go. So now, Job's in a little bit of trouble, and the Lord's kind of called him on the carpet. And you and I, we know this is true. We know. It's like, do you want to still argue with the Almighty? You're God's critic, but do you have any of the answers? And Job's like, no. And I feel in my heart, this is a humble no. This isn't a bold no. This is a no. Verse 3, I'm nothing. How could I ever find the answers? I'll put my hand over my mouth in silence. I've already said too much. I have nothing more to say. Good call, right? Verse 6, the Lord answers Job from the whirlwind. Again, I want you to get the visual. It's not in the scriptures for the fun of it. It's there so you can know when God's speaking, there is a lot going on. I mean, I appreciate that we think we know, but you've never had a whirlwind come up to you, stand next to you, let you sustain your life, and then speak to you, right? I mean, that's some serious, you know, we're getting to some serious territory. Then the Lord says, hey, you know how I asked you if you wanted me to keep asking you questions, and you were like, no? Guess what? That's not how this is going to go down. Verse 7, brace yourself because I have some questions for you and you must answer them. Now, you want to tell me all the stuff you want to tell me about understanding God, and I will tell you right now, if God ever said that to any of us, there would be a holy hush that would fall over every one of us, and every one of us knows, oh, this isn't good. Because oh, the Lord's going to ask us questions. Uh-oh. And then he says, and you must answer them. Now you're just hoping he doesn't pick out your sins that you think nobody knows about. I mean, now it's like different, right? And then God asks him in verse 8, are you going to discredit my justice and condemn me so you can say you are right? That line right there, verse 8, are you going to discredit my justice and condemn me so you can say you are right? That is what Elihu asked him in chapter 32 when before he asked him, just before it explained the actual sin that Job had in verse 32 when it says, straightforward, that he sought to justify, Job sought to justify himself and not God. I said that to a brother in the Lord about us justifying ourselves and not God. And that person was taken aback. Like, how do you do that? How do you justify God and not justify yourself? And the answer is, not only do you not always need to be right, you are not always right. And that'll just make it simple. God is always right. He can always be justified. You and me, we are not always right. And because we are not always right, we better really hope that God doesn't say, I want you to answer questions now. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Get that? It just puts the place of reverence. Remember? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It puts the place of reverence where it should be. He's talking out of a whirlwind. It's like, you're just like, oh, okay. All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website, and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form, and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. What is the David Spoon Experience?
Is because heaven is not some statuesque place where people go there and then freeze. Wait, I'm in heaven. I'm standing. Nope, I can't sit. Wait, no, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting. No, wait, I can't stand. Where does that kind of concept of heaven come from? Well, is he standing or is he sitting? I'm going to go with he's doing both. He's standing on this one. He's sitting on this one. Over there, he could be doing a Scooby-Doo act. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that heaven is not about frozen people that don't move. And if we don't get a better handle on what heaven is, we're going to lose our communication of our hope to a hope that's based on 72 virgins, which guarantees you after 73 times, it's not the fun it was the 72 times. It's so ridiculous. And that's the hope we're not winning on? You have got to be kidding me.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We're going to do our next trivia question, and then I'm going to send you up to the website still because
we have needs.
So that's why we're going to do it. But this question, I'm telling you right now, you must listen to the question. You must listen to the question. I cannot. How do you say that differently? You must listen to the question. Okay, here it is. Ready? Which apostle warned those who think they are standing to take heed lest they fall? Which apostle? Was it Jesus, Timothy, or Paul? Jesus, Timothy, or Paul, which apostle warned those who think they are standing, take heed, lest ye fall? Which one is it? That's your hint. The hint is in the question. You should pretty much pick it up on that. If you want to reach out to us, you know you can, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, David@hemustincrease.org. We're going to send you up to the website, then we'll take the call. And the reason that we're going to send you up to the website is because we need money. Is that just the best way to say it? More, sir. We'd like some more. Yeah, I'd like to pay radio rent. It's Friday. So help out with that if you can. Check it out on the website. There's also cool stuff up there. Check out hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
That's just legendary. All right. Somebody is ready to answer the trivia question. We do want to send them on through. Let's go ahead and do that. knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. This is Will Rogers.
Hello, Will Rogers. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful, and I hope you're a whole lot better.
I'm doing wonderful, and I'm glad to hear you're wonderful. That blesses me for you to tell me you're doing wonderful. Just to let you know. That's a blessing. Brother, this is a great question, because I knew it was going to trick a few people. So, which apostle warned those who think they're standing, take heed, lest you fall? Is that Jesus, Timothy, or Paul?
Well, Jesus wasn't an apostle. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God, come in the flesh.
That is correct.
Timothy is not an apostle, so that only leaves Paul out to be it.
That is correct. So that leaves...
Paul.
Paul! I know. I just wanted to give you a big intro to that. That's all. Excellent job. Right. Timothy, not an apostle. Jesus, he could be considered an apostle in one sense, but not known as an apostle. Only Paul. And all he was saying is, those who are standing, take heed lest you fall, which is a nice way of saying pride will get you nowhere. That's where it'll get you. So.
Yeah, it'll get you a fall. That's what it'll
That's exactly right. Exactly correct.
Before destruction, but whatever.
Yeah. Right. You know, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. That's exactly right.
Yep.
Excellent job, Will Rogers. Terrific work.
Thank you, sir.
All right. God bless you, brother.
Bless you, too.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, so we'll do a real fast history one, just because I have one thing I have to bring up in history, or two things. So go ahead and let's do history real fast.
Let's go live it in the past. Let's go live it in the past.
All right, it's National Boston Cream Pie Day, which is good. I mean, how can you not like that, right? That's a good thing, right? This is what I got to tell you. Today is TV Talk Show Host Day. And there's only one day. Let me just read this. You'll understand. There's a very special day celebrated on the birth date of the legendary nighttime talk show host Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson is considered the king of late night television. He hosted The Tonight Show from 1962 to 1992. Oh, my goodness. Basically, 29 years, 7 months, 21 days. There were 1,859 episodes. I give that a lot of acknowledgement.
Yeah, that's a really cool one, just because it has meaning behind it, besides, like, you know, random.
Yeah, it's not only that, but...
Pie Day.
Pie Day. Well, you don't mean you got to, like, pie or anything like that, but look at 1859. Now, I do want to point out that we've done 2,400 episodes, just to let you know, because I don't get vacations the way he did. But wait, I don't get paid the way he got either. He had a yacht. I don't even have a rowboat that could go in a bathtub.
Did they have the sound effects that we have? I don't know.
No, they had more. They had a few more cool stuff.
They had a live
stuff.
Band.
Yeah, right? They had an actual band. That's true. They had a live band. All right, that's the other thing, and that's all I want to share. That's just a great one. So I had to do that one. All right. Let's finish up. We only got like 4 minutes, but you'll get the gist. It's not really hard to figure out where it's going. So after God says, "You want to keep arguing?" And Job goes, not really. And God goes, well, okay, well, brace yourself, because I got some stuff I'm going to ask you, and let's see where you pan out on this. And this is what he says in Job chapter 40, verse 9. Are you as strong as God, or can you thunder with a voice like this? All right, then, put on your robes of state, your majesty, your splendor. Give vent to your anger. Let it overflow against the proud. Humiliate the proud with a glance. Walk on the wicked where they stand. Bury them in the dust. Imprison them in the world of the dead. Then even I would praise you, for your own strength would save you. This is God's nicest way of saying, dude, you don't have any strength to speak whatsoever. Now, next week, we're going to get into the behemoth and the leviathan, right? We'll cover that and cover the different angles, because that's what God's going to bring up. But what he tells him is, you're so strong, why don't you talk like me? See, that's like God saying, I'm talking to you out of a whirlwind. Your turn. It's like, oh, well, no, I don't think I can do that. Then he's like, oh, if you're so smart and so strong, why don't you tell everybody where the wicked are? Where do you bury them in the dust? How do you imprison people that are dead? God asks him. Hey, guess what nobody has an answer for? That. How does God separate? So you've got life and death. Well, our theory is that Hades is this and this is. You don't even know. It's our theories. God knows exactly how the dead are separated, how the dead saved are separated from the dead not saved. And you know, Job, he's not, this is, now you're talking about death, and he's having this conversation with Job, and you know Job's face, you can say whatever you want, his face is shrinking. This is like, yeah, this is probably not a direction I wanted to go, because I was actually just complaining about my circumstance, and now we're talking about something completely deep and completely different. It's like, yeah. So when we're sitting there telling God, you're doing a lousy job because I hate this trial, and I don't like what I'm going through, and I think it's unfair, you know, the Lord's just like going, I can't wait till you read this chapter. It's like, that's what the Lord's like. Read chapter 40 of Job. You won't be saying much. And what we've got to do is pull it back. I don't love everything that happens. It's a sinful world. Who does? But to blame God is the height of stupidity. You shouldn't say stupid. Okay, tell Paul the 14 times he used that phrase in the New Testament were bad. Tell the Holy Spirit not to write the book that way. You get what I'm saying? It's like, oh, man. Every breath you take is a gift, and anything God gives you is a gift. And past your first moment of sin, you are entitled to be eliminated off of all existence, which is true for everybody except for Jesus. And we're going to tell God how he should be doing righteousness? Mankind, false prophets on the air are going to tell you what responses should be for injustices in the past? They can't even make up for their own injustices, let alone determine other people's pricings. It's so ridiculous. How about we do a really good thing? Just like Job, I put my hand over my mouth and I say, I am done. Sorry, God. Right? Right. All right, folks. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false, but it feels the same. So I promise.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.